We're gathered together in the name of Christ tonight. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will speak to our hearts. Yes. We are blessed with a visitor here from Nepal. Yeah, in the Far East. So I think we have a map of Nepal that to put up on the screen. Okay, I don't know. Is that good? All right, so yeah, from the west side to the east, there's a long range of mountains on the Chinese border that borders Nepal and China, and those are the Himalayan mountains. And just south of those mountains are more mountains, or smaller mountains, and you have Kathmandu there, the capital, which is where Pastor Rajan lives and ministers. And back years ago, Pastor Carl in Mumbai, India, had it in his heart, he and Susie, to do mission outside of India. And so they prayed and they went to Nepal without knowing much. And they met Rajan, who was hungry for God, and they ministered, they met, they talked, and Pastor Carl left him cassette tapes from Dr. Stevens, and he listened, and he learned English. He knew a little bit of English, but he just kept learning, and he caught the spirit of what was said, the grace message, and it got a hold of his heart, and he wasn't a pastor, but he just had it in his heart that the Nepali people need a message, not of religion. It's a Hindu country, Hindu/Buddhist, predominantly Hindu. But they need salvation. They need salvation. So that'll be our theme tonight, salvation, what God does when he saves somebody. Turn with me to Isaiah 53:6. And when you talk with people, you want to have some Bible verses to use to help them find Christ. Because we're in a time, I believe, where the Spirit is speaking to the American people. The Spirit is speaking to us. And there's on the outside a lot of trouble. And also, by the way, a little lesson about our house here that we draw often. Their life is like two stories of the house. And I want to put it the first floor of the house, right and wrong. And this is how a lot of people live. They live only with the idea of right and wrong. But there's something else that more in life. There's more, something more in life than right and wrong. What is that? What? Oh, beautiful, holiness, love, God. And there's a word for it, a word that I'm looking for. It's in the book of Proverbs. What is that word? Wisdom. You see, if I should marry this girl or that girl, is it right or wrong? It's not right or wrong. It's more deep. Because a lot of decisions that you make are not about right and wrong. Is it right for me to live here or live over there? Should I buy this house or should I buy that house? Like, how do I decide? Many decisions are not right and wrong. But we need, in other words, this is complex. Life is complex. And that means I need more than just my personal judgment about things. Do you understand that? I need more than just my own moral sense. My moral sense isn't enough to navigate in a complex world. Christ's many decisions are not made along the lines of morality. Like buying this house or that house isn't a moral question. It's a question of wisdom. Is it God? Is God leading me? Or is God in it? Or am I humble? Can I seek God? Can I find God? So if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. And by the way, when you're younger, you can make a lot of decisions. You would say, I would make this decision or that decision. And thank God the Lord prevented me from making that decision because it was unwise. And now that I'm older, I might see that maybe that would have been unwise, but I'm still concerned that I would make now an unwise decision. Right? I am. The fear of God, the fear of like life. And I'm not afraid of life. I want to live my life aggressively, but I want to do it wisely. I want to take it on, but I don't want to be naive and foolish and assume that I can do this on my own. Right? Is that a good message? We can park there for quite a while and think about it. What are some other decisions that you would make in life that are not really essentially moral? But like, should I go to the doctor or not? You know, should I move to that city or that one? Should I take this job or that one? You know, should I hang out with that group of people or that group of people? Right? Okay. So, look at this verse regarding salvation. It's Isaiah 53:6. So our little diagram here is the fear of God brings us to the top floor of the house where we find wisdom. And the book of Proverbs, if you read it, you'll find that life is complex and there's no one way. There's no one answer for life other than God himself, right? There's no way. A man might think he knows, but the end thereof is death. He might feel he can navigate with women or women with men or relationships, broken hearts, disappointments. He might assume, but the Proverbs tells us that really we need the mind and the heart of God. We need help. This verse, Isaiah 53:6, regarding evangelism. And evangelism, in my opinion, is simple. It's loving people. If people are going to hell and I don't care, then that's like smacks of not love. But if we care, like what does it mean something to us? Does it mean something that I can help? Now, many of us are not opposed to it. We just don't know how to do it. How do we evangelize? How do we get into a conversation? How can we lead somebody to Christ? How can we invite them to come to the church or invite them to our home or to a cookout or invite them to a group meeting? Or, you know, we want to learn and sharpen our edge on that a little bit. And here's a verse for us. It's Isaiah 53:6. And I think that in Nepal, the thing that I love about Pastor Rajan's ministry is that they evangelize. They go to Bible school. People come from the mountains. They go to the Bible college. They get training, and then they send them back to their villages and back to their place. And these are very remote areas. very remote, like no electricity, no utilities. They have a propane tank of gas for heat, or they use wood or coal. They live in simple houses, and they have batteries for radio. It's very, very different from the kind of life that we are familiar with. What's the message that they bring to those people? But this verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, we have the gospel there. Just to know that verse. We've all gone astray like sheep. We turn everyone to our own way. And we do. And then God gave us his son. And when he gave us his son, he put our iniquity on him. On him he laid the iniquity of us all. So he paid the price and redeemed us by his blood to save us. And salvation is a real thing. It's a gift to us. It's to be born again. It's new life. It's the grace of God given to us to change us. And when we see this in a faraway land, let's just put the map up again, Nepal, and to think that what do we in America have to give to people there? Not really nothing that can even compare to this message. That these are sinners. We're all the same around the world. These are sinners. These are people who cannot get clean. They cannot get clean by their religion. They cannot have peace by their religion. They cannot have freedom by their religion. They're not worshiping God by their religion. And the men that are there, and many of you have been in Nepal with Pastor Rajan, and these men from the mountains, and there are many stories, but one of them, Pastor Manoj, shared, like in his village, there were only about 10% of the people got saved. And so the villagers were afraid of those new. They left their religion. They went away from their family tradition. They moved away. So the villagers wanted them to leave the village. But they were just patient and kind, ministering and being there and loving and serving. And it took time. I don't know, a couple of years, or I don't know how much time it took, but it took time, and more villagers became Christians. And soon, like 70% of the village was Christian. That's amazing, because in your culture, you don't go against your tradition. These are your fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. And you cannot change from being a Hindu to a Muslim. Like, it's wrong. It's wrong. But actually, it does relate to this picture here. Right and wrong. But what is wise? Are we sinners? Have we gone astray? Has God given us his son? What is wise? Is this book the word of God, right? Are these people really loving us? Are they really giving us a message? Is it really true? And I could say, we could all say, No, like go away. Like he told me. That's the American religion. That's what the villagers say. We don't want the American religion. That's an American religion. We are Nepali. Do you see the tension there? But what if, like in Korea, 100 years ago, Korea was 99% Buddhist? And they would take, remember Mary Prokop? Do anybody remember Mary Prokop? Remember? I think she had a father, grandfather or something. They took a rowboat out to sea with him. I don't know. I'd heard the story and I read about it. They put a rope around the neck of the preacher with a stone and throw him in the sea. That's how they were martyred in Korea. I mean, that's how much they hated it. That's how much they were against it 100 years ago. But what happened? Evangelism. No, more than that. Love. No, love. God's love. Faith. Was it the Holy Spirit that moved in Korea to turn South Korea 60% Christian and North Korea many? I mean, is this God? Is God in history? Does God want people in Nepal to be born again? One time at the airport in Nepal, I just wandered outside before everybody else, and I went to a taxi driver, and he said, in broken English, are you here to climb the mountains like Americans go to climb the Himalayan mountains? Are you a trekker? Are you here for that? I go, no, I am a Christian. I have the Bible. And the taxi driver goes, oh, the Bible, up in the mountains. There's many people that want the Bible. He wasn't a Christian, but he's telling me the mood, like what they're hearing. What they're hearing is that there's something happening in the mountains with people. They're coming to Christ. They're coming to Christ. This is a great work. 55 churches, and there are 77 districts in Nepal, and their vision is to plant churches in every district. Another thing, this started from zero. It did. Pastor Rajan's work was starting from zero. But the beautiful Christians in America, there's a church out, is it the Mountain Church? Something like that, yeah, out in Utah, where they met him, they support. They built a building for a college, Bible college, dorm, and school. And they are behind it. Look at this. Wisdom says preach the gospel. Wisdom says support missions. Wisdom says say prayers. Wisdom says walk by faith. Wisdom says get beyond yourself, the right and wrong and all of this about life. It's like you don't know how to figure it out. You and I don't know how to figure out life. You don't know what you and I don't know. How do you figure out life? But follow Jesus with all your heart and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and let him take care of the rest. And then we'll see what God will do. What will God do? He that winneth souls is wise. He's going to win souls. And Jesus said, follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. If you follow me, you will lead people and help them find a real answer. Listen, lastly, a drug addict, right and wrong doesn't help him. He knows it's wrong. He can't get out of it. What will get him out of it? Faith. Christ will deliver him. Christ saves his soul. The word of life, Jesus will do it. The fear of God is the answer for our life. Don't settle back in your life and just be complacent with living a right life. A right life, that's the goal. Live a right life. No, don't, no. It's too shallow. You'll settle back in what is right, and you'll be very judgmental about people. Be very judgmental because you're right and other people aren't. Or I'm proud about being right. But be humble before God and say, Lord, I don't know. Help me. Fill me with your spirit and teach me wisdom. We just want to say to Pastor Rajan, he's going to come up and share with us. We just want to say to him that we're behind him. We're thinking about the other side of the world. We're thankful. We're with you in the spirit. He comes to Uricon. He came here to the States. He went to that church in Utah and a few other places, and he's here with us tonight for a couple of days. And we want to keep him in our heart, in our prayers. Okay? Okay, so come on up, Pastor.
Greetings from Kathmandu, Nepal, all over the Nepal. This map, you see that. And just Pasyalar mentioned that things. I'm talking little things about Nepal condition. You know, when I believe in Jesus Christ, I receive as my Savior with him. And God puts me something in my heart. You know, I am a very anti-Christian people also. I'm born in the Hindu family, and I want to protect my religion. This is my testimony. Why I am saying these things, you know, this is the important, you know, just Jesus died for the everyone. We know that. Everyone knows that. That's why we receive as a Savior. Christ is my Savior, and we receive that. But you know, only I receive that, and God speak with me about that things. I'm seeing the Nepal. This is Nepal, you know, just a map. You can see there are three parts. One part is the plain parts. There is some roads are there. There's the India side, and there are another parts is the hill. Some hill. There is only 200 kilometers is need to take the time 6 hour, 8 hour by car. It's a road is there, but this 200 kilometer means 120 miles, I think something, 25 miles. It takes time. And there is not lots of road. And people are living this area. They doesn't know about Christ. They doesn't know about God. They doesn't know about anything. They think that, you know, we live here, we grow here, we die here. They don't think about God. They never there. And I know that people. And I'm praying, God, you died for not only for me. You died for the everyone. You died for the every people. That's why, you know, just God's pushed me the something in my heart. And I pray, God, I want to preach the gospel to my people who doesn't know Jesus. You know, this is the good news. I'm saying sometimes, you know, this police are, right now the anti-conversion law in our country. We cannot preach. And sometimes, you know, I'm thinking about Pastor Sivili told that, you know, this police say, I'm preaching and you will stop. And no, my God says that. The priest, who you are, say they stop that things, you know. I apply that things also. You know, sometimes police are asking me, you want to convert people? I'm saying this. No, I don't want to convert people. I want to preach the gospel. Good news. You know, every people's need a savior. Every people who born the sin, he need the savior. This I'm saying that, and I say the police like that. I want to change right now. Can you change right now? Can you convert right now? No, I'm not converting. That's I'm not converting. I'm preaching the gospel. That means, you know, I'm saying Nepal is this type of the people lives in Nepal. They don't know Jesus. You know, when you go there, Pastor Alan mentioned that, you saw that. You know, every people say that. This is American religion. American religion, wow. They say that American religion. But they don't know about Jesus. And my heart is always, I'm praying for that. You know, I'm lost. I'm died with Christ that time. I say, I'm very proudly say, I'm a Hindu. I know everything. I'm saying that. God saved me. He changed me. And then something put me in my heart for this people. Just this is one story I'm talking to you that in the Bible, we know that, you know, just God's loves the world. He loves every person. Every person. Who he died for that person. That's why this message I'm planning to taking to go to all over the Nepal. And we start that time. One church, 2002, when I met Pastor Carl, and he prayed for Nepal, and he encouraged me to do the Bible class, and I take the Bible classes, and then I find out that, wow, God died for everyone. That's why we need to preach the gospel. We need to save people from the sin, death. We need to that. We have a good news. I have a good news. I'm thinking that, and then we start the church. And main thing is this, you know, just when we start 2000 till 2008, we have a 4 or 5 churches. But after that, we start the Bible classes. And 2011 to 2015, we started Bible classes and Bible college, and then we start churches in the ground. Right now we have 55 churches. That's I'm saying. Why I'm saying? That's not enough for us. You know, this, in Nepal still, 75% people are unreached. How I'm saying that? You know, this some data say that, you know, just 50%, some 25%, but I say that 75%. They don't know about, they know about Jesus is an American religion. That is not unreached. That is unreached. Only they know about Jesus. But they don't know about who is Jesus Christ. Who is this? What Jesus Christ did on the cross. Think about that. What he did. He said his blood for the everyone. Amen. Everyone. That's why I'm thinking that, you know, just that's why I need to preach the gospel. That's why I'm become very selfish for the Nepali people, but he died for the everyone. But it's okay. But we can preach the every our people, our men to preach the gospel. I'm talking to everyone. Our main responsibility, every Christian who saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, he born in the new, born again Christian, he has a testimony, he has a message, That's why Jesus said that, you know, just born again, need to born again, receive Christ as a Savior. I am a sinner. And sinner, when I save, then I can preach the gospel. Everyone. I'm not afraid about preaching the gospel, everyone. You know, just, I had an accident 5 years ago. It's a big accident. And God protect me to preach the gospel. And I preached to my doctor. I preached the gospel. How I preached that? You know, I'm laying the bed. I cannot stand like that, I'm laying in the bed, and doctor asks you, five doctors, top five doctors came with see me. And well, one thing I'm asking, they want questions, and they say that, oh, what do you want to ask me? You are always smiling, your face, you are a very serious accident, but you are smiling. But I'm saying that, I don't know about any worry about that. One day we have to go somewhere, that is heaven, I know that, because I believe in Jesus Christ. He take me to heaven. That's why everyone needs Jesus. I'm saying that that doctor said, wow, he said that, you know, he said that. I need to, that doctor need to Jesus Christ. And this is I'm thinking that, you know, just I'm saying, you know, I'm saying everyone, one, two things. Church needs two things, not other things. One thing is preaching the gospel. Second thing is edifying the believers. Only that things. And lots of organization system they have. That's they can do that thing. But mainly things, sometimes churches are not doing that things. But the people are not doing that things. We are missing. That's why we need to do that things. Keep and pray for us. This Nepal, 30 million people live in Nepal. 75% they don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know. My planning to reach that area with good news, with gospel. That's God gave me that. God gave me radio. Some people ask me that, oh, you are preaching from the radio. They are asking me that. I'm saying, no, don't think about who is preaching the radio. But think about that, what I am preaching through radio. You need to think about that. And so many people receive Christ hearing the message through radio. He receiving Christ. He came in the Kathmandu, learn about Jesus, and he came in the Bible college. He finished the Bible college, he went to the mission field. You know, this is the work God gave me. Thank you for the Baltimore Church body, everyone. You're praying for us and encouraging for us, remember for us. Thank you for that. And I'm saying this thing, you know, you remember Nepal, remember me, remember our works in Nepal, and pray for that. I need a prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Could we pray for you right now? Yes. Let's pray for you. Wow, I just love the simplicity of the gospel. Question, could Christ come into somebody's heart in Nepal and change their heart and their life? And he has seen hundreds of people come. And that one paradox is, even though the government has anti-conversion laws, he's on the government radio every week for 15 minutes giving the message, and it covers more than Nepal, even Malaysia. It goes even to Malaysia. In Nepal, he's gotten correspondence, like 1,500 letters, I think I heard you one time. 3,000 letters in 1 month, or in over a period of time.
500 per the one
month.
One year, 500. That means, you know, just BBC observed that 1,000 people hear the radio and 1 people reply. 1,000 people hear radio, 1 people reply. That means we have a 3,000 correspondent course. That means, you know, just every year 500, here means 500,000 hearing the radio.
Wow.
500 writers. This is the BBC do the observation.
BBC did the observation.
Yeah, in Nepal.
Yeah. So out one reply that they get correspondence means 1,000 people are listening.
Yeah.
One. And they've gotten 500.
Year.
In a year.
Yeah.
500. Inquiries, or they do the correspondence course.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Amazing. Wow. I really think, wow. If you have been to Nepal, would you stand up just for a second? Because I think there are people here. Yeah. Pastor Norm goes, Mark, Pastor Glenn, Pastor Fred, Atul, Pam, Zane, Beth, Cardelia. Cardelia lived there. Wow, that's Avery. That's your wife, Leica Avery. What are you doing here right now? Okay, so let's just say, we can feel in his heart the reality of salvation and what it means. And it is amazing to see these people come to Christ and be totally affected by the reality of Christ. This is the Holy Spirit. There's no explanation. No explanation. There, years ago, when Cordelia lived over there, I think, you could go to prison for baptizing somebody into the Christian faith. It was serious penalties. Do you remember that? Yeah, there were serious penalties. And now they have those laws, but still, you're operating, you're operating.
Yeah.
You're doing it. You're doing it. Yeah. That's so sweet. Wow, it's so good. Yeah, really. One other little point. I mean, this is a kind of a special meeting because it speaks to our hearts. John and Diane Post lived over there for years. And in the dorm, there was no hot water. There was no hot water heater. There was no hot water. And they wanted hot water for a shower because they're from the West, right? Like, do you shower? Do you do cold showers first thing in the morning? Maybe some of you do, but if you do, there's like something like not exactly. So, I mean, we saw in the winter over there, guys just in cold showers on the balcony, it's okay for them. It's okay for them. So he said, no hot water in the dorm, because we're training people to be missionaries, and we don't want them to go out to a village and get used to warm water showers. We want them to be Nepalese, yeah. Right?
Yes.
So is it the American religion that we're propagating over there? Or is it Christianity in the Nepali culture? Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Just one thing is I'm talking to, just we teach people like live the mission life, missionary life. Everything will get heaven. We know that. We don't need the hot water in the heaven. We'll teach the mission life, missionary life. That's our practical mission life. Yes. We teach them in the Bible college.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to pray for the offering in a minute, but wait a minute. Like I think, can I tell the story about Beam?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I think you've heard me tell the story about one of these brothers. His name is Beam in Nepal. How many remember the story? Okay, two people, three. Okay. All right, this is what happened to him. He's preaching the gospel. There's a guy that comes by on a motorcycle, and he has a box on the back of his motorcycle. But Beam wants a ride, so he's like hitchhiking. The motorcycle pulls over, hands the box to Beam. So he's riding on the back, holding the box. Up the road is a policeman. Yeah. Policeman pulls the motorcycle over, and he says, "What's in the box?" It was a rare species of a bird. And a bird that it's illegal to have it. So they arrest Beam, but he didn't know what was in the box, right?
Yes.
It was a setup to put him in prison, and he went to prison because he had the box that had the bird in it. He went to prison, and I think he had children. How many? Seven children. And when we heard about it, we did give help to his wife for the children and just for them to survive. But he's in prison, I think, 5 years.
5 years.
And when he came to the prison, some of the prisoners started clapping, and he comes in and they said, why are you celebrating? Why are you clapping? He said, because we prayed that God would send a pastor to the prison. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then what happened when he was there?
And 2 years, 1 year, he's very sad because, you know, I'm doing no things, but God puts me in the jail. You know, he's very sad. But, you know, we help their children, their wives, and say helping some things. And then after 1 year, he understand why Jesus sent me to this jail. He preached the gospel. Within 5 years, 90 people laid in Christ in the jail.
90 people? 90?
90. And that's why he, on the last, you know, last day of the get out of the jail that day, I don't want to go. I don't want to go because I want to jail. I want to short the jail. Still, he's doing going to jail. He has allowed to go jail. Huh? And he preaching the jail. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. The salvation of a soul, like never forget it, the value of the gospel, never forget it, carry it with you in your life, and bring the subject up when you talk with people and as God leads you, and learn how to start a conversation and share that message. I'm just refreshed by being with Pastor Rajan the last couple of days and thinking about the value of the gospel. I'm excited about it. I love the thought. Salvation, the gift of God, the blood of Jesus that saves and washes us clean and gives us a new life. And in our Bible, there it is. And we get to talk and share it and pray for the salvation of souls. And we want to see that in America, everywhere we go, and we're so much happy about you. Very thankful, and your family. Yeah. So, Lord, we pray for this offering. We are celebrating your great gift, the gospel of Christ, to save a soul far away in the mountains of Nepal, and for the pastoring of the people and the training on the propagation of it happening. And please protect these very tough people, very tough people, very, very tough people. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you one little sidebar. I know I'm talking a lot, but the British, they made an agreement with the Nepali people. They kind of governed like a little bit back in the 19th century, and they recognized that these people are very tough. They're very tough. So they built in their military a certain division for Nepali people. Because they can go without food, without water, they can go in the cold, they can climb mountains, high places, they can do stealth warfare, quietly living. They're very tough people, and we just love the environment made them that way, and God made them, and we are with you, and love them very much. Amen. So give in the offering, too. Don't forget that part. God bless you.